Bibles this morning to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, chapter number 12. And we're going to read one verse. And then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. And we'll give you the message this morning the Lord laid on our heart. I'll give you just a moment to turn there. You've got the book of Psalms, then the book of Proverbs. And I sort of listen for pages to quit turning to know when to start reading. I don't know what you do if you're hard of hearing. I think I'm all right there, but I'm wondering if my seeing's not going a little bit. I have to take a minute to focus just a little bit longer sometimes. So I hope not. But Proverbs chapter number 12, verse number 15. Let's read this one verse and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. The Bible says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." Let's pray. Lord, we do come today and thank you for all the blessings that you've given to us. And Lord, I need your help this morning. I really pray for the liberty of the Holy Spirit, that I would just be able to say the things that would be pleasing in thy sight. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. I pray that nothing would hinder in the service. And Lord, we have much that we're praying about as a church. We pray for the meeting coming up, those that are sick, those that are traveling. Lord, we pray for them. I just pray you'd have your way this morning. I pray, God, that you would just be with us in a special way. Help us as thy people that we would be what you would want us to be, and that we could be a powerful witness in these days in which we live, that we would be salt and light, that we would be usable for your honor and your glory. Help us. Speak to our hearts as only you can. Help me. Ask it all in Jesus' name and amen. Now this is just one verse, so let's read it again. And we're going to look at this verse this morning, but the Bible says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." And the title for today's message is relatively a new word in the English language. You know, every year there's new words that are added to the dictionary. And this word that I'm going to use this morning originated in the year 2002 from the country of Australia. And by 2012, Time magazine had labeled it one of the top 10 buzzwords of that year. In 2013, the online Oxford English Dictionary began to monitor this word for inclusion in the dictionary. And by the end of 2013, they announced it to be the word of the year. If you watch the Olympics or the Academy Awards or anything like that, this word came up quite often and they were talking about it. During the Olympics, I noticed that, especially I watched the opening ceremony, there was a lot of this going on by the athletes. Well, you say, what's the word you're talking about? I won't try to preach this morning. I'm just going to use this word, the word selfie. Now, some of you young people know what a selfie is. Some of you older ones may not know what a selfie is, so I'm going to tell you what a selfie is. A selfie is a self-portrait, a photograph that you take, and usually it's taken to be posted online, put on Facebook or Instagram or something like that. We've all seen people take selfies. I brought my cell phone this morning. You see, now I could really embarrass Abigail today, but I won't do that. But I'm telling you all the time. I'm gonna put that. I don't know what they do. I'm sure there's more pictures taken today in 2014 than there's ever been in any other period of time, but fewer that you can hold in your hand. You know, everybody's got their pictures on their phone. And everywhere you go in restaurants, sporting events, see it on television. People, that's what they're doing. They got their phone held out. Maybe it's two people. They take a picture and they'll put it online, or they'll send these pictures to each other. That's what a selfie is. Now, I'm not knocking or preaching against taking a picture yourself and putting it online. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. That's not what I'm saying today. But it is, if you think about it, it's sort of self-centered, isn't it? It's sort of self-centered. And we're all that way when it comes to photographs. You know, if somebody hands you a picture or shows you a picture and you're in the picture, who do you look at first? You just look at yourself. That's what you do. You just say, oh, did you see this picture of us? And you look at it, and you look at yourself, and if you look all right, you say, boy, that's a good picture. Now, the person beside of you, they could be, they've got their eyes closed, or they're looking in another direction. You don't look, or you don't really pay much attention to what they are looking like. You just look and see, boy, I look pretty good. That's a good picture. I like that. That's how we are. That's how I am. I'll be honest. Kim and I, we'll take a picture and she'll look at it. She'll say, I don't like that. I'll look at it and I'll say, I think I look pretty good. I like that one. And she'll say, no. And so you take four or five pictures to get it. Everybody looking just right. So we're not throwing off on the young people and their selfies this morning. And we're all sort of self-centered sometimes, especially when it comes to a photograph of ourselves. But this man in the Bible, Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 15, he's very self-centered. And we're going to look at him and his selfie in the Bible. Now, it reminds me, and you notice the language of the verse there. It says, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes. In his own eyes, he looks pretty good. That's what this verse is saying. Do you know it's no accident that we're living in days where there's a lot of self-centeredness. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, this know also that in the last times, perilous times shall come, dangerous times, weak times is what that's talking about. But you know what verse 2 says? It says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. We're going to notice some things about this individual in verse number 15. And I want you to think this morning about your own spiritual selfie. What do we look like if we were to take a spiritual photograph of ourselves? I'm going to show you about four things out of this verse, and then we'll be done this morning. Number one, I want to point out in verse number 15, there's self-direction. There's self-direction. The Bible says the way of a fool. We could stop right there and preach a whole series of messages. The way of a fool. And boy, the book of Proverbs has a lot to say about the way that we go in. Look over in chapter 13, verse number 15. The Bible said over there, just one chapter over, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. The way of transgressors is hard. Sometimes we go through life and we find out that it's the path we're on, the way we're going, it's a hard way. It's a difficult way. When it gets like that, we ought to stop and ask ourselves, why is it so hard? Why is everything so hard? The way of transgressors is hard. Now, that is exactly opposite to the way that you find in Proverbs chapter 3. Now, a lot of people like Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. In fact, that's some of my favorite scripture in the Bible. It says over there, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. That's your own way. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. That's talking about the Lord. And He shall direct thy paths. Verse 7 says, be not wise in thine own eyes. You get wise in your own eyes, that's where you veer off and begin to get in trouble.
But instead, we're supposed to trust in the Lord. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil, is what the Bible says. There's only really two options for living this life. We're either going to live this life and we're going to do things my way, or we're going to do things God's way. That's the only two options that there are. We're going to do what we want to do. And I would say this, everybody starts out on, I call it this, the my way highway. In fact, we even train our young people not to be too concerned about what God wants them to do, but what do they want to do. That teachers and adults and Sunday school teachers and preachers, I mean, we're all like that. We'll talk to a young person, and what do we ask them? We say, what do you want to do when you grow up? What's that placing the emphasis on is what they want. What we ought to say to people is, what does God want you to do? What does the Lord, what do you think the Lord wants you to do? What direction is God? The Bible says that He'll direct our paths, doesn't it? What does God want you to do with your life? But we ask the question, what do you want to do? I grew up with that mentality. What do I want to do? What am I interested in? What am I going to be? Where do I want to live? And on and on and on. Now, I would say this morning, goals and aims and desires, all those things are good. We ought to have goals, and we ought to have things we desire and we're shooting for and working for in life. All those things are good. But I found out that God's way is so much better than my way. If you can find out in life what God wants you to do and then pursue that in your life, you're going to be so much farther ahead. In life, it's far better to just at an early age take the I out of my life, out of my will, and just set about to find out what's God want me to do. I don't want to spend years of my life chasing my way. That's a dead end street. We ought to be interested this morning in finding out what God's will is for our life and put our life in God's hands. Even when I was 17, 18, 19 years old, I remember just trying to figure out what I wanted to do. You ever been there? I'm sure you have. Especially you older ones. What does God want me to do with my life? And what I found out is, as long as I was seeking out what I wanted to do, I never was satisfied. I never could get settled on anything. Continually rolling that over in my mind. What am I going to do? Even when I was in the military and I had a career opportunity, I was not settled. I was not happy. I wanted to do one thing and that would last a couple of weeks or a couple of months, and then I was on to something else, and it's just couldn't get settled. And I found this out. My way always led me into an unsettled way. Into an unhappy way, into a dangerous way, because I was being led the wrong way. But one of the happiest days in my life is when I found out what God wanted me to do. If you can find out in your life what God wants you to do, that you can say, this is God's will for my life, you're going to be so much better off. You talk about purpose in your life. You talk about having an anchor in your life to work from, a base, a foundation. God's will is the best thing you'll ever find in your life. If you can wake up in the morning and say, I know what God wants me to do. I'm where the Lord wants me to be. It's not always preaching or being a missionary. God's got something for everybody to do. I believe that with all my heart. I wasn't looking to be a preacher. I was just looking to find some peace and some purpose in my life and begin to seek after and ask, Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? And when God began to show me He wanted me to be a preacher, then I went to the Lord like a lot of people and I said, now, I wanted to know, but that's not the news I was looking for. But you know, 20-some years later, I'm glad I can stand here this morning and say, now that doesn't make any sense to me, but this is what God wants me to do. It's my purpose in life. There's self-direction. Self-direction will always lead us in the wrong way. And this man in Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 15, that's the way he was going, the way of a fool. But second of all this morning, there is self-admiration. Now, it says the way of a fool. And you ought to underline that in your Bible. And my, we could say a great deal about the fool in the Bible. The Bible says a lot about a foolish person. The number one fan of the fool is his own self. Who likes him more than anybody else? He does. The way of a fool, the Bible says, is right in his own eyes. And the Bible is full of fools. Did you know that? What I mean by that, there's a lot of people in the Bible that come under the classification of being a foolish person. Being like this man, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. I think about Cain and Abel in the Bible. Cain was a fool. Cain only saw himself and what he wanted and what was right in his own eyes. He was a foolish, prideful, arrogant individual in the Bible. I think about Pharaoh and Moses, and Moses came before Pharaoh, and Moses had a message from God. And the message was, let my people go. But Pharaoh, being a fool, you know what he said? Who is the Lord? I don't care about what God has to say. I think I'm pretty important in and of myself. That's how Pharaoh was in the Bible. There's Cain, there's Pharaoh, there's the man named Nabal. And he had dealings with David. And do you know, the name Nabal means a fool. I've thought to myself, why would anybody name their child fool? But Nabal really lived up to his name. He came out, cursed David, cursed David's men. The Bible said he was such a son of Belial that you couldn't even deal with him. You couldn't even talk to him. There's Ahab in the Bible. There's Nebuchadnezzar in the Bible. There's all these people in the Bible that we could pick out as examples of people who were full of self-admiration. Now, when I was a little boy growing up, we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have smartphones. We actually carried pictures around in our wallets. Do you remember those days? I asked Kim this morning, I said, do you still have pictures in your wallet? Your purse? She said, I've got a few of the kids. I don't carry pictures of anybody except myself. Well, that's on my driver's license, but if you, that's how we was, you know, you took school pictures and everybody traded pictures. And us boys, we had wallets. And you buy a wallet and you had a place to put pictures. You remember that? And the one you love the most, that's going to be your first picture. And most boys, you know, they'd put their girlfriend up front. Or, you know, later on when I got married and met Kim, I put her first. And then when we begin to have a family, you know, I put her and the children, and they were in the front. But you know what? If you could meet Cain or Abel or Ahab, you know, they would have in the front of their wallet, they would have a picture of themselves. Would you like to see a picture of me? That's how they were. It's all about them. If we're not careful, nobody would admit that this morning, but if we're not careful, that's how we'll be. It's all about me. It's all about self-admiration and lifting up of oneself. Proverbs 25:27 says, it is not good to eat much honey, so for men to search their own glory is not glory. For men to search their own glory is not glory. Glory. It's what the Bible says. You know, one of the biggest fools in the Bible is Absalom. Absalom was David's son and would have been the king. You realize that. But you study about Absalom in the Bible. I'm going to read a couple of verses if you want to turn over there. 2 Samuel chapter 14. I got thinking about Absalom yesterday and studying, and Absalom was, he was a very prideful individual. He was a sneaky individual. He was a rebellious young man. He was a violent person. He was pouty. You know what pouty is? I mean, he'd get offended and he'd pooch that lip out, and he wouldn't talk to his own father. What'd he go 2 years and he didn't even talk to David? He was a type of individual. He wouldn't listen to what anybody else had to say. And you know what? Something else about Absalom. He was very beautiful, the Bible said. He was a handsome young man. The Bible said in 2 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 25, it said, "But in all Israel there was none to be so much praised as Absalom for his beauty. From the sole of his foot even to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him." Boy, in Israel, he was on the front of GQ magazine. They said, "Boy, old Absalom, that's a king's son. He needs to be in the movies. He needs to have his image set up before the people. He's just a good-looking guy." Verse 26 said, "When he polled his head, for it was at every year's end that he polled it, because the hair was heavy on him, therefore he polled it, he weighed the hair of his head at 200 shekels after the king's weight." And what that means, you know this, Absalom was a hippie. And he only cut his hair once a year. That's what it's saying there. And boy, he was proud of his beauty and his looks and his long hair. And I don't have time to preach all that, but his long hair ended up getting him in trouble. Brother Lester Roloff preached a message about Absalom. And how he rode that mule under that tree, and his hair got all caught up in it and hung him up in the tree. And they came by and they killed Absalom hanging by his hair from that tree. And Lester Roloff preaches a message, or did. He's dead now, going on to be with the Lord. But he preached the message, and the mule rode on. You ever heard that? And left that Absalom, that foolish individual, hanging in that tree. But you know something about Absalom? If you look over in chapter 18, this young man that had everything going for him, he had in his life, 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 18. "Now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and reared up for himself a pillar, which is in the king's dale. For he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. And he called the pillar after his own name. And it is called unto this day Absalom's place." Absalom thought so much of himself that he had made a pillar. He had made a statue of himself. You might say that's an ancient selfie. He said, "I'm a pretty important fella. And I need to make sure when I'm gone, everybody remembers me." And so he made up a pillar of himself, for himself. And he said, because he had no children. Now later on, he did have children. But when he made that pillar, he didn't have any children. That's an ancient selfie. But Absalom was a fool. Absalom was consumed with his own self-admiration in the Bible. Proverbs 16, verse number 18. The Bible says over there, "Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall." What matters is not what I think of myself. It matters what God thinks of myself. There's self-admiration. I go back to chapter 12, verse 15, number 3. There's something else I want to point out in this verse. There's self-commendation. To commend oneself. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, you don't have to turn over there. But Paul talks about they who commend themselves among themselves and comparing themselves among themselves. Paul says they are not wise. So to commend yourself is to lift yourself up and brag about your own self. And it said here in verse 15, It said the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Self-commendation. Right in his own eyes. Chapter 14, verse 12. Look over there. We're in Proverbs. Chapter 14, verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It's what the Bible says. Do you know the hardest person to reach in the whole wide world is the person that's done no wrong? You ever tried to talk to somebody and you find out that they've done no wrong? That all the problems in their life are always somebody else's fault. And if anything is talked to them about, it's always not me. It's not me. It's not my problem. I would never do anything like that. It's not my fault. Boy, it's hard to deal with somebody like that. That does no wrong. And we find many examples of that in the Bible. The Pharisees were like that. The Pharisees in the New Testament that dealt with the Lord Jesus Christ on a personal matter day after day after day. Do you know the Lord Jesus tried to reach them? He loved them too. That was the religious crowd, the religious people. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 12 and 13, I was reading over there. Jesus said to the Pharisees one day, He said, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." You remember that verse of Scripture? They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. If you are not sick, you don't need to go to the doctor. But you know, I was reading on down verse 13. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "But go ye and learn what that meaneth." And then He went on down and He said, "I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." He said, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." Go and find out what that means. Do you know what? They never did. They never did understand that the Lord was talking about them. You see, in their eyes, they were the good guys. In their eyes, they were closer to God than anybody else. In their eyes, even when they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, they were doing God's will. They were doing God's work. They never understood. In their own eyes, they were good, and they didn't need what the Lord Jesus Christ had to offer. Self-justification is the greatest spiritual danger in the world. I was in the Air Force. I remember I was talking to a young man I was working with, and trying to witness to him about the Lord. And I was talking about that we all need to be saved. We need to be born again. We're sinners is what the Bible says. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And everybody needs to be saved. Jesus died on the cross for sinners. Romans 5 and 8, "But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And I was talking to that young man about being a sinner and needing the Lord Jesus Christ to save him. And he told me, he said, "But I've never killed anybody." That's what people always say. Like that's the one thing that'll send a person to hell. "But I've never killed anybody." Well, it's easy to compare ourselves with somebody on death row. It's easy to compare ourselves with the worst of the worst. But the Word of God says that all of our righteousness, all of our good works are as filthy rags. That we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And no matter how good or upright or moral a person may be, they still need the saving grace of God in their life. Jesus died for all. Because all were sinners. And the Pharisees, they never understood that. They never seen that in their lives. When Jesus died upon the cross, you know, there were two, the Bible said, thieves. that were crucified at the same time that the Lord Jesus Christ was. One of those thieves, the Bible says, railed on him, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, railed on him and said, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself, save us." He said, "If you're really who you say you are, get us, all of us out of this mess," is what he said. That other thief on the other side got on to the thief that had railed on the Lord Jesus, and he said something like that. This, he said, "We receive justly. We're getting what we deserve," is what he said to that other thief. Do you know the one over here that railed on Christ? He's a good example of self-justification. Just get me out of this mess. The other man, he recognized that he was getting exactly what he deserved. And all he said to the Lord Jesus, he said, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." He recognized that he deserved to die on that cross. He was a sinner, but he spoke to the Lord. He said, "Remember me." And what did the Lord Jesus? He didn't save both of them. He saved one of them. He said to the one that would confess where he really was, he said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." There's self-commendation. It's a dangerous thing. Now, there's three things in verse 15, but I don't want us to leave verse number 15 without looking at the last part of the verse. This spiritual selfie we're looking at. You know, there is some hope. When you read the Bible and you come to the word "but," that's usually a good thing. It said there, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." This is self-realization. Self-realization. And do you know the first step to self-realization always begins with hearing? Hearing. You want to be the opposite of this fool, you're going to have to hear the counsel of the Lord. "But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." Oh, if we just listen. John 8:47, Jesus said, "He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." Do you hear the words of God today? Jesus said in John 10:27, he said, "My sheep hear my voice, follow me, and I know them." That's what the Lord Jesus said about hearing his voice. Do you hear the voice of God? Do you hear his word? If you'd asked the Pharisees, "Do you hear the word of God?" they'd have said yes, even as they were crucifying the Lord Jesus, or had voted to do that. When they said, "His blood be on us and on our children," they thought they were doing right. They weren't hearing the voice of God. The Pharisees were like that in the Bible. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says this, "Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith." Are you in the faith this morning? Do you hear the voice of God? I'm going to give you quickly 7 things. Now, if you don't wake up, I'm going to take 10 minutes on each of them. I'm not going to do that. I know you lost an hour of sleep last night. You should have done like I did and went to bed an hour early. But I couldn't go to sleep, so I'm feeling it too. But you know, I was reading A.W. Tozer, and I really like to read after him. And he gave 7 rules for self-discovery. You say, I don't really know where I am, if I'm where I ought to be or not. I don't know if I hear the voice of God or not. How can I know that? How do I know if I'm hearkening unto counsel, hearing the counsel of God so I can be wise? I'm going to give you 7 things. Just ask yourself these questions and I'll be done. 7 rules for self-discovery. Number 1, what do we want most? If you could have anything in the world that you wanted, what would it be? That'll tell you a whole lot about yourself. What do you want more than anything else? Number two, what do we think about the most? When you just have some free time and you're just daydreaming or you don't have anything going on, what is it that you're thinking about and rolling over in your mind? The Bible said in Proverbs 23, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What are you thinking about? What do you think about the most when you don't have something pressing on your mind? Number three, what do we do with our leisure time? How you spend your free time? When you get some time to do what you can do and nothing else pressing, what are you going to run off and do? This tells us a lot about where we are. Number four, how do we use our money? Boy, our wallet is a good measure of where our heart is. You got some extra money coming your way, what are you going to do with it? Spend it on yourself? Do something to help somebody else? I'm not directing, I'm just asking the question this morning. How do we use our money? Number five, the company we enjoy. Who do you like to be around? If you want to know where you are, just look at where your friends are. It's a good way to judge. I'm not talking about I'm judging you. I'm talking about you judge yourself. Who do we enjoy company with? Who or what do we admire? What do you admire? Do you admire this Hollywood crowd? Do you know how many young people want to be famous? If you did a poll among young people, what do you want to be when you grow up? I forget the percentage, but there's a lot that say, I want to be famous. I want to be like somebody on TV. That's who they admire. That's who they look up to. When's the last time you asked somebody that and they said, I want to be a missionary. I want to be a preacher. I want to be something good and beneficial in this world. Who do we admire? Number seven, what do we laugh at? That'll tell a lot about us, what we laugh at. I want to read one more verse and I'll close this morning. James chapter 1. I'm going to close like this. I want us today, before we close, I want us to take a spiritual selfie. The way you take a spiritual selfie, you don't take a phone and take a picture and put it on Facebook. You look into the Bible, the Word of God, and when you look into the Bible, do you know what? It will reflect who you are and where you are. And if you take a spiritual selfie, then you can ask yourself, do I like that? You know, that's how we are when we take a photograph. We look at it. Do I like that or am I going to delete it? I'm going to erase it and take another picture. James chapter 1 verse 25 says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that's the Word of God. If we look into the Bible, we look into the Word of God, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If you'll honestly look into the Word of God, it'll show you where you are. And it will, you can decide, do I like what I'm seeing? If you don't like what you're seeing, you know what you ought to do? You ought to do something different with your life. Keep looking in that Bible until you see something that you feel like God could be pleased with. He'll let you know when He's pleased. He'll let you know by His Holy Spirit when He's not. When we're not where we ought to be. So if we took, and I'll be real honest with you this morning, as I was studying, as I was thinking about this message this week, and I've been rolling this thought over in my mind, don't ever think that you come to church and I'm just preaching to you. I've done a lot of preaching to myself. And you know what? As I was going through the message and thinking about what the Lord was showing me, there are some things that I thought, Lord, I don't like that too much. I don't think that's where I ought to be. There's some room for improvement. If you don't think there's room for improvement, Well, you need to come up here and tell us what you're doing right. Well, there's room for improvement. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. Now, I'll be honest, I'll be first. Lord, there's room for improvement in my life. There's a lot of room for improvement.